Welcome to Deconstructed. I'm TJ O'Hara, the principal political analyst for IVN. Our goal on Deconstructed is to break down important political issues with outstanding guests so you can develop your own more informed opinion. My guest today is Peggy Grande. Peggy is the former executive assistant to President Ronald Reagan and author of the book, The President Will See You Now. She is also a well-known keynote speaker who addresses the principles of leadership excellence. However, she's joining us today as the spokesperson for Cal 3, the initiative that proposes to split California into three states and was just certified to appear on the November ballot. Peggy is here to deconstruct the genesis of the initiative, arguments in its favor, and the hurdles that remain, even if it's approved by the electorate. Welcome to Deconstructed, Peggy.
Thank you so much for having me on the program today, TJ. I really appreciate it.
Now, Peggy, I know you've interacted with Mikhail Gorbachev, Margaret Thatcher, even a saint, Mother Teresa, so it's got to be a thrill for you to add me to that list.
Absolutely. Well, I've been fortunate to know you for so many years, and it's a pleasure to be on your show today and to really look at this massive and important initiative that is going to be on the ballot facing California voters this fall. So it's a great day to be here with you today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on our show. I have nothing but complete respect for you, but I had to tease you just a little bit.
That's all right. Thank you.
This Cal 3 initiative is really fascinating. Give me a description of Cal 3.
Well, we believe as Californians that California is broken and that California has become too big to govern and too big to function. And this is a very empowering initiative where the people of California can say, we want a different direction for California's future. We know the path that we're on is not sustainable. We know what California looks like in 10 or 20 years. And for a lot of Californians, that is frightening if we don't change direction. And so Cal 3 is going to be on the ballot in November. It's an opportunity to say that we as Californians feel that smaller government is better, and we want to break California into three states and where we can have government be more responsive and more responsible to local communities. And so that's the initiative that's going to be on the ballot in November. We just qualified, as you mentioned, and so it's an exciting time for Californians.
And who is initially behind this Cal 3 initiative?
Tim Draper lives up in the Silicon Valley area and is a longtime resident of California. He loves this state. He's a visionary, and he is the one who kicked off this initiative. But I love the fact that with ballot initiatives like this, Tim Draper in November will get one vote in the ballot box, just like everybody up and down California. So we are grateful that Tim Draper kicked off this initiative, but this is really about the people of California having a chance to exercise their own voice and be heard and be represented in a way that they feel like they're not currently being represented.
Now, just getting it on the ballot is a significant struggle. And it's not just Tim Draper at this point in time, obviously. Approximately how many signatures were required to get this on the ballot, and how many did you ultimately receive from a validation standpoint?
Yeah, so it was exciting with even just the signature collection process because we're required to submit 365,000 valid authenticated signatures, and we submitted over 700,000. And so we submitted over twice the number. You can tell there was great enthusiasm as we collected signatures from all 58 counties up and down the state. And we think that that's an indicator that people in California are going to take a big look at this in November and that there's going to be a lot of people from a variety of geographies and backgrounds up and down the state who are going to jump on board and support Cal 3.
Now, speaking of geographies, I know we're the third largest state by geography, and we're about two times larger than the average of the other 50 states. How is California going to be redistributed, if you will? What are the names of the states and approximate geographic dimensions?
One of the things that is, I think, shocking to people when they start looking at this, even if you break California into three states, they still wind up population-wise right around the fifth largest states in the union, which is shocking, and it gives you an idea of how massive California actually is. So population-wise, they would be between 12.5 to 13.5 million each. They each would have a fairly even median household income. There would be economic opportunities in each of those states. The voters of each of those new states would be able to vote on the name of their new state. Right now, for working purposes, we have Northern California, which obviously is the northern part of the state, from just north of Monterey, like Santa Cruz area, Santa Clara, up to the Oregon border. We have California, the state of California, would be from Los Angeles County up to Monterey area, those six counties. And then Southern California would go from Kern County over to the Nevada line down to the Mexican southern border. So those are kind of the geographies, but it would be up to the people of each of those new states to officially name their state.
And each of those proposed states has a fairly significant amount of industry in them, certainly enough to sustain them independently. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, and that was one of the things that we wanted to do when they were looking at the map and deciding how to break this apart. You want each state to independently be able to stand on its own and have flourishing industries and to be fairly balanced so that the power play in even California's existing boundaries would be very viable independently. And so I think they've done a great job with this. Each of the states really has a lot of geographic characteristics and population characteristics that are reminiscent of the state as a whole. And so the diversity of California is a beautiful aspect of our state, and I think that that continues to be captured in each of the three states that have been carved out.
Now, there have been attempts in the past to split California into multiple states. There's actually one where the voters overwhelmingly approved the split back in 1859, but Congress never acted because of the Civil War. Tim Draper had an initiative just a few years ago that would split it into six states, and that failed to make the ballot because of validation issues on the signatures. But why the reduction from six states? If six states was good then, why the reduction to three now?
I'm not sure exactly. I wasn't part of the six-state initiative, but this one, I know that they definitely went back and looked at maybe some of the reasons that people didn't support that, and this new map definitely represents each of those regions in ways that they already self-identify. It provides greater representation with neighbors that are of similar concern. What we want to do is take this massive state that right now has one-size-fits-all top-down government and break it down into workable areas that can provide solutions that are needed for each of those regions. And so three states still provide a booming economy. It provides a robust size of state, but it certainly breaks it down into a way that would be more accessible to the people and more responsive as well, and probably has a larger chance and a more likely chance of getting through Congress than the six states.
Peggy, we're going to take a quick break and talk more about the Cal 3 initiative when we come back. Welcome back. Our guest is Peggy Grande, spokesperson for the Cal 3 initiative that proposes to divide California into three separate states. Peggy, let's talk about some of the strategic advantages of breaking California into three separate states. What would the impact be, for example, on education?
Well, we know that California is broken and it's too big to function. It's too big to govern. We see that it's failing Californians in every statistic. U.S. News just came out with a study ranking us 50th in overall quality of life. And we as Californians are not okay with that. And along with the bottom 50 of overall quality of life, we're also looking at failing K-12 education. We're near the bottom in that, crumbling roads and infrastructure. We have some of the highest taxes in the nation, and yet that's not helping the people of this great state. And so we do know that smaller states are doing it better. 49 of them are doing better in almost every measurement. And education is crucial here in California. That's something that is going to help our future. It's going to help people stay here in California. We know the stats. We've seen it. Even there was a study this past week. 46% of Bay Area residents are contemplating leaving in the next few years. You know, I'm a mother of four, and two of my kids have already left the state. And that, as a mom, is heartbreaking, but as a state, that's unsustainable. And so what are we doing to retain and recruit the best and the brightest and keep them here, recruit them and retain them from all over the nation and our businesses as well? So K-12 education is failing the students of California. We know that a smaller state can do it better, as well as maintain those roads and crucial vital infrastructure pieces that we know are crumbling before our very eyes.
You know, you mentioned in a lot of the critical categories, we're probably, as a state, in the mid-40s all the way to 50th in rank, so very close to the worst in all cases. Yet we're the fifth largest economy in the world, about $2.7 trillion last year. And the only economies that are bigger than us are the cumulative United States, China, Japan, and Germany. We're even larger than England. So you look at those types of things and wonder what's gone wrong. So what's creating the issues with infrastructure and so forth? As you say, we certainly aren't low in taxes.
Right.
So we have the funding. What's creating the crisis?
Well, we know it's mismanagement on every single level and also misplaced priorities. The priorities of Sacramento do not reflect the priorities of people up and down California. They're not meeting the needs of the communities. I mean, when I've been digging more and more into the issues here in California, it's been appalling to me some of the things that are happening here in California. We have small towns in central California that don't have drinkable water. We've got towns that are completely bankrupt that aren't getting any support and assistance from Sacramento. And yet we continue to build a tens of billions of dollars high-speed rail to nowhere. That does not reflect the priorities and the needs, the very basic needs for clean drinking water, for educational system that supports the future of California. The roads that we drive on every single day, there's a stat that just came out saying the average Californian pays $844 a year extra in car repairs and things due to poorly maintained roads. So it's affecting the bottom line of every single Californian. And to your point, we are one of the largest economies in the world, but what does that do to the basic Californian who doesn't have clean water coming out of their tap, who lives in a city that's bankrupt, that can't send their kids to the neighborhood school anymore? It's a travesty. And those of us who love California want to see a different future. You know, we see Cal3 as being an initiative that people are going to support who love California, who want to stay here, who don't want to flee the state in search of another place. I was born and raised here. I've raised my family here. I have no intention of going anywhere, but California sure makes it hard to stay sometimes. And so we want it to be a place where people can stay, where they can retire, where their kids can start their families and have a future, that people from all over the world will still want to come and be able to afford to live here. Affordable housing, as we know, is at a crisis right now. The very people who support our communities can't afford to live in the communities they serve. And that comes at every level, from mismanagement, from oppressive regulations, from onerous taxes. And the people of California have had it.
What's preventing California as a single state from being able to effectively address these issues?
Well, as you know, we've had singular control at the state level for far too long, and our problems have only gotten worse, and they continue to not listen to the people of California. And this is not a political issue. This is an economic issue. This is talking about the fundamentals that every state, that every community should have right. Roads and infrastructure, education for students, affordable housing, a tax base that is supporting the students and the people in a community, not oppressing them. And these are just basic things that we're not seeing happen up and down California. And so that's mismanagement from the top down. And this is a great opportunity for the people of the state to take things into their own hands and say, we want a different direction. We want a seat at the table and we want a voice in how we're governed.
If California was to be divided into three separate states, would the interjurisdictional competition between the states have a positive impact, or would it complicate the issue?
I think it would actually provide great, healthy competition between the states. If you look at the map and the way that it's divided, the median household income of the new state, Southern California, would be slightly lower than the other two states. But I think with some creative tax bases, with some great business incentives, that very quickly could change, and that Southern California could once again become a vibrant state that would recruit people from all over the nation to come there. And so I see competition as being very healthy and a positive thing between those three states. And I think we'll see a lot of shifting of people and businesses within those states to find the state that properly meets their needs, their goals, and reflects their priorities.
California is fairly economically diverse by region as well as culturally diverse. Can you speak to some of the local identities and the autonomy and diversity issues relative to the three states that are proposed?
Well, we think that especially some of these smaller communities that have been ignored by Sacramento will once again have a voice in how they're governed. We look at so much of the agricultural area, Kern County, Tulare, those areas that right now Sacramento has played games with their water supply, played games with the way that they are able to do the things that they do and farm the beautiful land that they have in that part of the state. And so Kern County all of a sudden would have a bigger seat at the table and be able to have a voice in how they are governed. You know, some of these smaller counties up in Northern California, again, that have been completely ignored by Sacramento. Stockton, you look at the city that's gone completely bankrupt, that Sacramento has not been very helpful to. You break up California, all of a sudden they're the fifth largest city in the Northern California region, and all of a sudden Stockton's problems have to be the problems of Northern California and will have to be addressed. And so we do see that especially these smaller areas, smaller counties, towns that have previously been ignored by Sacramento will once again have their needs addressed. We believe that smaller means more responsive and more responsible government, and we think that we'll find that, especially for these areas that are overlooked right now by Sacramento.
So in effect, it's an admission that very much like the differences between New York and Nebraska, even though both states start with an N, there are significant differences in what's important in those specific regions. And this would give the flexibility, as I understand it, particularly for Central California, which is often dismissed at the state legislative level and really falls to the whim of the population-dense centers in San Francisco and Los Angeles and so forth. This would give those types of areas an ability to focus on their own issues and potentially resolve them more efficiently.
Absolutely, because exactly what you said is as different as Nebraska is from New York is Imperial Valley from Silicon Valley. And we know that Sacramento pays a lot of attention to what happens in Silicon Valley, but not much attention to Imperial Valley. And those are important areas, are the breadbasket of our state, that agricultural, beautiful area that provides so much food for our state and all over the nation and around the world, like you said, is in so many ways, it's not being addressed. It's not really being understood. They're not being heard. And so this would be a great opportunity. Like I said earlier, there will still be great diversity in each of those states. And so Kern County, of course, is very different than San Diego County. And yet, as neighbors in a smaller community, they would be able to make decisions that would reflect the priorities of both of those areas, as well as the other parts of that state, without having so many of the concerns that come with a state of 39 million people.
Peggy, we're going to take a quick break and talk more about the Cal 3 initiative when we come back.
Terrific.
Welcome back. Our guest is Peggy Grundy, spokesperson for the Cal 3 initiative that proposes to divide California into three separate states. Peggy, we've been talking about all the positive aspects and the reasons behind Cal 3. However, obviously, as with any initiative, there is some opposition to this. I look specifically to the governor's position, which is an interestingly contested race at this point. And not surprisingly, Gavin Newsom is completely against this. He sees no particular reason for it. And one might suspect that that might have some political basis. The Republican candidate, John Cox, while he acknowledges that this is an interesting concept, feels that it might be difficult to manage. So let's talk about that latter aspect, because it's focused more on the reality of the issue as opposed to a political positioning of it. What are the challenges from a structural standpoint in being able to split California into three separate states?
Well, we know that there would be a lot of hurdles ahead. We're not minimizing that. But the beautiful part about this is not a plan that's dictating exactly what those steps will be. It's a direction that the people of California are saying that they want to head. And so if the voters approve this in November, it does need to go through congressional approval and then would come back to the state to start the actual process of breaking the state up into three. And so we realize that there are going to be many hurdles. There's going to be a lot of people who are not in favor of this that may challenge it in the courts. We have attempted thus far to adhere to both the letter and the intent of the law, and we will continue to do that. But just because there are hurdles ahead of us doesn't mean that we shouldn't start this process. Getting this on the ballot is an important first step, and we believe that it's the right step for California, and that California should have the right to have a say in its own future. And so that's what this does. And we acknowledge that there will be hurdles, but that's no reason to not step in the right and appropriate direction for California.
One of the specific arguments from One California, which is an opposition committee, is that the measure would cost taxpayers billions of dollars to pay for the massive transactional cost of breaking up the state, whether that's the universities, the parks, the retirement system, and so forth. And the argument is that California government can do a better job of addressing the real issues that are facing the state, and that this is just a massive distraction. So how would you reflect upon what a great job California's been doing to address these issues in the past?
We know that everything that they have done has not helped. And in fact, quoting my former boss, Ronald Reagan, he used to joke that one of the most dangerous lines in the English language was, "I'm from the government, I'm here to help." And it seems like everything that Sacramento is doing is only making things worse. And I know people say, oh, the cost that will be involved in this. But let's talk about the cost of the way Sacramento is doing business now. Let's talk about the mismanagement of funds. Let's talk about all the opportunities that they have had and continue to have to address the real problems of California that they have continued to ignore. And so if we want to talk about, if we're worried all of a sudden about how money is being spent, let's look at Sacramento, not at Cal 3, because they're the ones who have held all the power and all the purse strings for far too long. And let's hold them accountable. Let's do that first.
You had an excellent quote that I saw, that California state government isn't too big to fail because it's already failing its citizens in so many ways. And the reality is that for an overmatched, overstretched, and overwrought state government structure, it's too big to succeed. And that Californians deserve a better future. And I thought that was an interesting synopsis of it, because that's where you're getting the pushback. You're getting the pushback that we can do this as a single state, and yet where's the evidence that we're ever going to fix this problem? Now, there's another opposition group called No California Breakup. And one of their arguments is an interesting one. It says splitting California into three new states will triple the amount of special interests and lobbyists and politicians and bureaucracy. Is that true?
Well, we actually see that it will be a great opportunity for Californians to actually have greater national influence. So we know that three states will have greater local focus, but they'll also have greater national influence, because when you break apart the state into these three states, not only would we have three governors, we would have six senators. The House, obviously, representation would remain about the same. But right now, people of California are not being represented well and right on the federal level. We know that when people are campaigning for federal office, they come here to California to throw their parties, to pick our pockets, and then they go back to Washington, D.C. We right now are an electoral assumption on both the right and on the left. Candidates for office on the left don't really campaign here because we are assumed that we will go blue head to toe. Candidates for office on the right typically don't come here either because they know we're going to go blue top to bottom. You break California into three states and all of a sudden, instead of being an electoral assumption, we become electorally relevant. And candidates for federal office have to come here and hear our specific ideas and needs and problems and come up with workable solutions that they can take back to Washington. And so our representation would be so much greater, not only here locally, but on a national level. And that's something that is important to the people of California. Not only geographically are we so removed from Washington, but I think a lot of times we feel like we're an assumption and we're an afterthought to Washington, D.C. And this would once again make us relevant and make our problems relevant to those in Congress and the Senate.
And as you've referenced, there is a potential lawsuit that could be filed even if it passes on the grounds that it counts as a constitutional revision and not an amendment. But the more interesting issue deals with Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution. And the language of that is that new states may be admitted to Congress into this union, and I'm going to skip a section of it, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as that of government. So the House and the Senate in Washington, D.C. have to approve this. The Republicans are likely to struggle with it because they're likely to be challenged with the thought of more senators from the West Coast who would tend to be Democrats, at least in the short term. So they could struggle with reaching the numbers that they need to pass legislation through the Senate. Democrats, similarly, are likely to be against risking their monopoly on electoral votes for the purpose that you just discussed. How do you overcome those political barriers? Not that they're reality-based from a standpoint of what's best for the people, but they are predicated on what's best for the party. So how do you overcome that natural political barrier?
Well, the interesting thing about this initiative is it's not based on political issues. It really is based solely on economic issues and on allowing the people of California to select and dictate their own future. And so it's going to produce some very interesting bedfellows, I think, here in California, and some very interesting alliances of people who maybe have never partnered in anything or seen eye to eye in anything before. But when they look at how they would benefit from smaller, more representative, more responsible government, the political aspects of that may be minimal compared to the economic benefit that they can get from Cal 3. Representation is always better when it is closer to home. It's more localized. You have a greater say in it. And so we believe that however that the hypotheticals may play out, that people are really going to look at not all the what ifs, but the what is. And the what is a dire situation for California, and we need a dramatic solution, and this certainly provides that. And I think people, the average Californian who struggles every single day to pay for their housing, who's frustrated by the kids' schools that they're in, who looks at the decline of their communities, I don't think they're going to care about the political ramifications and the what ifs down the road. I think that they want California to be a place that they can live and love and stay, and those are the things that are going to matter to the people who vote for Cal 3.
Peggy, in the limited amount of time we have left, where can our listeners go to learn more about the Cal 3 initiative and support it if they so choose?
Yeah, absolutely. We hope they'll go to the website, which is cal3.com. You can follow us on Twitter at VoteCal3. And we hope that as we get closer to November, people will take a serious look at this. It's been interesting as this rolls out. Sometimes people hear it and it seems sort of shocking at first. And once they start hearing more about it and learning about the benefits that would be gained for everybody in California in each of those three states, they start taking a much more serious look at it. And so we hope that your listeners will go to our website. We'll be on the lookout for articles and stories as more information becomes available, and inform themselves and make the right choice and vote for Cal 3 in November.
Well, thank you, Peggy. While Cal 3 has a steep hill to climb, at the very least, it'll force California voters to examine what years of one-party dominance has delivered to the state. And if it passes in November, it'll also educate the masses on constitutional provisions of which most people are unaware. It'll be interesting to follow, Peggy, and thank you again for joining us on Deconstructed.
I appreciate you giving us time to talk about it today. Thank you.